Hello and welcome to the Owl's Nest. I'm your host, Skylar Timmons. And joined with me, as always, we've got Quentin Denny.
What's going on?
Connor Cude.
What's up, boys?
And Nathan Price.
Present.
It's good to see you. Nathan's back in the studio.
Happy to be here. Work finally let me go.
Welcome back to the swamp.
Out of the dungeon, into the swamp.
Yeah. The oven that is our recording studio.
It's actually not too bad today.
No, it's not too bad. The view is still great.
Have that AC running at 60 for a good, 3 days with no one in here, so that's pretty nice.
That is the perfect temperature to live at.
Seriously, though.
And what makes things good is we've got the Owls back in town today.
Yes.
They just got back from their road trip over in Colorado, my home.
I think this was tied for their longest road trip of the season. 10 days they were gone, so it's been a while since we've seen the Owls back in town. So I'm glad that they're back.
Yeah, I think the only other time they had a road trip this long was when they went to Montana, towards the beginning of the season for 10 days.
I think that one was only 8.
No, it was 10 because they had 2 travel days like this one.
Ah.
But, like you said, they had 8 games total, but it's the same setup with the 2 travel days capping the games.
Yeah, that's miserable. Those bus rides, oh, man. Going down to Colorado Springs is miserable. going up to Montana, at least it's like a good view going up there. Down to Colorado Springs, if you've gone across Wyoming, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
it is miserable.
So true. Well, and you'll see, if you watch some of the guys' Instagram stories and stuff, you got guys, sleeping on the floor and just, trying to get as comfortable as they can, but, oh, those buses are terrible.
Do we have a confirmation of who that was?
No.
I couldn't tell who it was. No, I thought it was a Dazon Cole or something, but if you watch Deshaun Knowles, he's really, really good at posting about his trips, and we'll give you his honest opinion on what he thinks the road trip is like.
Yeah, I've been there on those long road trips from out to La Junta, Colorado. It's about 4 hours of just straight line, nothing.
Ugh.
Yep.
Gross.
It's
that was on a school bus too, huh?
Yeah, that's on a school bus.
Ugh. Even worse. No airflow.
No.
That's it. That's basically our recording studio on wheels. That's what that is.
Pretty much.
Our view's better.
That's true. Our view's better.
Yeah, I'd take this over any little bus any day.
Yeah. But we find the Owls as they're coming back into town. They're still in the midst of a playoff race, which we'll talk about later in the show. But I guess kind of start off, game of the week. What do you guys have for game of the week?
Okay, game of the week. Let me tell you what I got for game of the week. Thursday, August 22nd is my game of the week. So coming off of a Grand Junction series in which they went 3-1, which another series win. That's 3 straight series wins that the Owls had done, which hadn't happened since 2017 at least. Was it two straight actually. Yeah, we tied the Missoula one. Man, I'm struggling today. But Thursday, August 22nd, the reason why I have this one is because they need to start out hot against Rocky Mountain. Rocky Mountain is one of those teams that's above them right now that they need to get wins against. So coming into the series, first day off of a travel time, which is 4 hours about to get from Grand Junction down to Colorado Springs. Guys are tired. And you kind of saw it, too, early in the game. Gave up 2 runs before the 5th inning, so the Owls go down 2-0. And in the 9th inning, they still find themselves in that score, down 2-0. And that's when the Owls basically erupted with hits and runs, scoring 5 unanswered runs to win the game. And so you like to see that with the guys, not really feeling depressed about the situation that's going on, but able to rally together. And it was consecutive hits. I don't remember how many runs they got in a row, but it seemed like they got 3 runs without even getting an out. So guys were getting on, guys were hitting them over, and it wasn't home runs that were doing it, it's situational hitting. The most important thing we always preach on this podcast, situational hitting. Guys on second, get them over to third or get them home. And so I think, and pitching too. So you see 2 runs before the 5th, no runs after. That's our relievers just shutting it down, not allowing anyone really to do anything on the other team.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think this was a really, really good game, just all around. But I'm going to have to say my game of the week was coming on Tuesday, August 20th, against the Grand Junction Rockies. And the reason for that, it's nice to see when your bats just get hot, and they definitely got hot in the 3rd inning with 7 runs, just all in the 3rd inning. And then they scored 1 in the 4th and a couple in the last 2 innings as well. But, won that game 10-8, and it's just good to see them. When you have a team like Grand Junction coming back, in the 5th and 6th inning, it's good to see them be able to shut them down and get that win, and get another series win, like you were mentioning.
Yeah. So we talked about it last week on the episode, how important this series was going to be for the Owls. So we got done playing the other division. We got done playing Missoula and Idaho Falls. Those games, they're important, but they don't really help us too much. We need to beat teams in our division. So that's Grand Junction, Rocky Mountain, and Ogden. And these next 2 weeks, that's what we get. We got a full slate of Grand Junction, who's struggling at the time, and we said we needed to win at least 5 games on the road to really help us push to get into the playoffs. So taking 3 from them, that's great.
Yeah.
That helps us tremendously. And so I think that's where that's important. Instead of splitting a series, we win a series, which we haven't done much of this year, which builds morale. But one thing, reason why I think my game was more important to the Owls was because instead of getting swept, we're able to at least get one game on a team who's above us right now. So we're not losing ground by 4 games. We're still able to at least claw our way back a little bit.
And I think one of the most important things about that, Quinn, is that when these teams aren't playing us, they're playing Ogden. And so if we can steal some wins away from them, they're probably not going to win against Ogden. So it just helps us out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and along with that, I agree with you, Quinn. I think that was a super important win, especially because, I mean, if you look, each of these series, the Owls just got blown out in the first game, but then they would come back the next day, and they came back out hot. They came back out swinging, like not just giving up like we've seen before, but they came out to play. And so it was cool because, yeah, the first game in the series against Grand Junction, they just got smothered. But then after that, they came back and they won every single game the rest of that series. And then Rocky Mountain was a bit of a different story, but like you said, they didn't let themselves get down, and they came back and they got that win, so at least they didn't get swept that series.
Yeah, and I mean, that travel, we kind of talk about it, but that travel is so rough. It's about, think about it. It's only 8 hours to get to like Denver, another hour to get to Colorado Springs. You're on a bus with a bunch of guys, so you have to add a lot more time. That 9-hour bus ride turns into a 12, 13-hour bus ride. So that's a big strain on them. So just to see that they were able to have a good morale to win that game and not get swept, which we've seen in the past kind of hurts the Owls' morale around the clubhouse. So I think that was most important, is we didn't get swept. We still got a game at least from that series against the Rocky Mountain Vibes. And our pitching still shows that they're good. Our relievers, some who struggled in the past, Dazon Cole, Darian Williams, 3 innings for the 2 of those guys, no runs, only 1 hit. So we're showing that our relievers and our starters are starting to be elite with what they're able to do.
And I think that's important because they're just keeping their team in games. When their team's doing good as a whole, we see it's the pitching keeping them in the game. Like we're talking about in that 5-2 win, the pitching did their job. Is the offense struggling there? So we've seen kind of the back and forth of if one's struggling, then the other side of the team picks them up. And so that's where we see that success come from, is when they're kind of both firing on all cylinders. And the Owls' offense able to get those timely hits, like in that 5-2 win, especially in the top of the ninth. That's really, really harrowing right there to be able to do that. So we've seen them have good success. They split the road trip, which isn't too bad. They're still right in the thick of things. And so we'll definitely see what continues to happen.
Yeah. And so one thing about it, when you think about like the ninth inning and related to teams like Grand Junction and Rocky Mountain, unlike the rest of the Pioneer League, those two teams have like a dedicated closer on their team. And so going against a guy who that's his role, he's figured out that's my ninth inning, I do that. It's kind of harder too, because you really have to dig deep and try and get something off of him. And so we saw that they were able to, and it builds confidence. But then again, they did lose the next 3 straight games, some of them closer than others, but we'll see. They're back home. We got the ping pong table back. So we'll see what happens. I'm excited for these upcoming games where we get to rematch Grand Junction and Rocky Mountain again before the Ogden series.
So you're saying they should have packed up the ping pong table and taken it with them on the trip?
They need like one of those portable ping pong tables that people have.
The miniature one that you can put on a table.
Yeah, exactly.
Play it on the bus to get ready for each game.
Pull an office and make your own out of a long table.
Yeah. That's cool. But so kind of transitioning there from the game of the week, what about player of the week?
I'm going to go with Nathan's recommendation right here. Nathan gave us our stat pack again, right there it is, just so people know it's a thing. I'm going to go Nathan's recommendation. This is my guy who We mentioned him last week, too, other than Jeremiah Jackson, who was our player of the week last week. We need to give him some credit, too. Not only was Jeremiah Jackson our player of the week, and I said I would, it'd be awful if he didn't get Pioneer League player of the week, which he did, Pioneer League player of the week. He was also offensive minor league player of the week last year. So last in week, all levels of week. The minor league, yeah, last week, he was able to, did I get something wrong?
You said last year.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
Okay, I'm really out of it. Okay, last week, Jeremiah Jackson was minor league player of the week, Pioneer player of the week, and Owl's Nest player of the week. This week, I'm going with Brandon White. The reason why I'm going Brandon White, his hot hitting is still hot. Batting .371 over his last 10 games, 6 runs, 13 hits, has the 1 triple and the 1 home run from last week, and is still producing at the plate, in the field, on the bases. He's doing it all right now.
I think he's
moving over and he's getting in.
Yeah, key stat with that, like we just said, 13 hits, and then one that sticks out to me, 6 walks in those 10 games. And he's hitting .371, and that just shows that, like we've talked about before, Brandon White takes long quality at bats. He sees a lot of pitches, and he's either then just getting slapping it for a single, or he's getting on base with the walk, drawing the walks. And so I think that's been a real boost for the bottom part of the lineup, is because you have somebody that's taking good at bats, wearing pitchers down, giving the on deck guy a good look at the pitcher, and he's producing.
I really like his plate approach. If you come to the stadium and you watch Brandon White, he's, what are we going to say here, 5'9", 160 maybe?
Yeah.
Really skinny, really short guy. So what he does at the plate that I really like, and it, you can see it here on his stat line we just mentioned, he chokes up pretty good. He gets close to the plate and he chokes up, fouls off pitches that could be strikes, but keep his at-bat going. Skyler mentioned that. He has long at-bats. And I'm going to say some of that is maybe his choke up to on the bat and his approach at the plate. And so it's something that doesn't happen much in today's game. More guys are just swinging for the fences when Brandon White, he kind of knows his role a little bit and is able to do really good at it.
I was going to say another thing that's kind of impressed me is his fielding. In the first half of the season, we are seeing him take some routes that are a little bit questionable. And we all know that Sean Knowles is kind of the premier outfielder that we have right now, but I would say Brandon White can rival him. He's doing really well in his fielding. Whenever you see him out there in center field or out in left field, you know that most of those balls are going to get caught.
Yeah, I think that has to do with him. He was drafted just this year from West Virginia, and you come to this situation where these are pro players hitting different kind of fly balls. These are different fly balls than college or high school, so you'll see that out there. And it kind of takes a minute to adjust to that, though.
Yeah, and I think that another notable mention as well is Justin Koons. I mean, in the last 5 games, he has been hitting like over .300. He's had 3 runs, 3 doubles, and 3 RBIs, and an ejection I see here. I didn't know that one, but do you know if that was while he was behind the plate or while he was at bat?
I'm not sure.
I'd have to look that up, but I believe it was first base umpire. Let me check 1 second.
Either way, though, if you are willing to enough to fight for your team or fight for your guys, or even just fight for yourself to get enough to get ejected by one of these umpires, I mean, that's just rallying your guys immediately. So it looks like he got ejected by the first base umpire, Chris Ford, in the 8th inning. I mean, I'm not sure why he got ejected, but we'll have to ask him about that. But, I mean, we saw there was another night where we had our first base coach, Frankie Navarro, he got thrown out of the game, and then Will Wilson also got thrown out at bat for talking to the umpire, and that just rallied the guys, and Sala hit a walk-off win that night. So,
true.
I mean, ejections rally the guys. As much as it sucks to get thrown out of the game and as much as you just want to play, like if you're willing to fight for your team, it rallies everyone else.
Yeah, it just brings out some passion.
Exactly.
That's what you want to see is everybody's got your back. That's why we see no major league managers, why they even go out there to argue with umpires and eventually get ejected because they can show that they support their players. And yeah. So that goes a long way, just building camaraderie. Because they're all in the same fight. They're all fighting for the same thing.
It's good to see they're still fighting this late in the season. Only have, how many games? 9 games? 9 home games? 8 home games left? Does anyone know the count? I think it's 8 home games left.
9 home games.
9 home games?
Yeah, it's 7. So we have 7 at home, and then there's 3 away at Ogden, and then 2 more to finish off the regular season.
So 11 more games, it's pretty late in the season. It's kind of getting hot. So it's good to see they're still fighting the players and they're still going out there with a passion that maybe you have early in the season when you're just excited to go play baseball and ready to play.
Yeah. So it makes a huge difference. So kind of transitioning a little bit more, let's talk about the offense as a whole, how things have been going, especially in this past week. Because as we've talked about before, they're on the up and up. They're getting hits. They're scoring runs. And it's a lot better than what we saw in the first half of the season.
I think one big addition is Caleb Sires is back with the team. Kind of had the situation. I don't know. He just went down to Arizona.
Some back issue
that we had seen earlier in the season. Put him in a designated hitting role, a true outfielder. But he went down to Arizona, got rehabbed, came back, 358, two runs, six hits, two doubles. That's huge. And a home run in there, too. And if you know anything about Caleb Sires, if you come and watch him in BP, he's got power. So it's good to see that his back looks to be good, looks to be healed up. Because once, if you know anything about back injuries, it's lingering. And when hitting, you use a ton of your back and your hips. So it's good to know that when your back is healed, the power will come with it. And we see it right now. He's producing with extra base hits. So another power bat like that to come back to the lineup is, it helps the team tremendously.
And I think another kind of a good little addition that they've added to the team recently that was on that road trip was Dravon Williams-Nelson. Say that three times fast.
Nope.
It's a mouthful.
I'm good.
But adding this other middle infielder, and so far he's hitting, being a little bit of a producer right there in the lineup. And so I think they're adding in some more new guys, and some of these guys that have been added to the team are kind of adding to the offense. They're adding hits, and they're kind of improving things. And at points, that can help give rest to some of the other regular guys in the lineup.
Mm-hmm. Guys like Jeremiah Jackson, who he took a couple days off just probably to get some rest. And we get guys like Williams. Is that who it is? Dravon Williams? Dravon W.
Williams Nelson.
Williams Nelson. Yeah. He comes up. He was their 14th round pick this year. And so we're seeing some of those picks from this year's draft who are down in Arizona start to come up. Justin Kuhn's another one of those who came up from this year's draft, who's down in Arizona. So we're starting to see these guys come up, give our regular guys rest. So Jeremiah Jackson gets some rest. Morgan McCullough, who's played all year in Burlington and Orem, gets a little bit more rest. And some of our outfielders who play all the time, they're getting rest too, which if we do, which we hope, it's doable to get to the playoffs.
It's doable.
It's doable, as we say. It's going to be tremendous when guys are rested and ready to play in the playoffs.
And I think something that's really interesting that might be a key, especially during this homestand, is will David Claussen be able to hit at home? Because it seems he struggles at home quite a bit. But on the road trip, just in these last 10 days, he had 7 RBIs. And so there's kind of this weird dichotomy with
Triple.
Yeah, with David Claussen, he had that triple, where we've seen him hit on the road, but then he comes here at home and he just sort of struggles. So why do you think that is?
Maybe? He lives with his parents.
Yeah, I don't know. I wonder if it's maybe a mental thing. Maybe because he knows it's the home crowd and it's the fans who see him all the time and know who he is, maybe it gets into his head a little bit. I've heard that he's been struggling a little bit too with some of the mechanical things this season, just trying to get him to be natural, but he's just thinking about him too much, and that's what really happens to David typically, is he gets in his head, and that's when he doesn't produce.
Here's the thing. If you're a baseball player, it's so mental. We've talked about it. It's 50-50, maybe even more so towards the mental side of the game. You need to be mentally strong to play this game. Batters know who that they're not good against. We asked Corey Snyder, the former MLB player who we interviewed on episode 2 of the podcast, and he said, we asked him, who was the one pitcher you struggled the most against? He said Roger Clemens, no thought about it. Players know who they struggle against. They know what stadiums they struggle in, and they know situations in which they struggle it again. And it's always in the back of their mind. So maybe that's something that's going on with David right now, where he struggled at home, he knows he struggles at home, and he kind of goes to the plate already with less confidence than's needed. So maybe that's a situation none of us here know. We can only assume, because we just don't know what's going on in his head. Only David does.
Yeah, because we know he can hit. We've seen some of that evidence here at home, like that one game where he hit 2 home runs.
Yeah.
So we know he can do it. So
he's had flashes of greatness. And we saw that those were consecutive games too. So once he got confident and knew that he could hit, he then The next game did the same thing, confidence, and was able to hit. It's once he comes back from a road trip and I don't know what's going on, but he just comes back to the Owls Stadium and something clicks in his mind maybe. But hopefully things will change this time after he comes off a hot road stand like he just did.
Yeah, so that's just one thing. But like we've talked about, there's offense throughout the lineup, which has been really good to see with the Owls. Well, throughout this second half of the season, especially this whole month of August.
Oh, yeah.
It's been really great to see.
Yeah, we were able to see our batting average go up, which early on the season, it was hovering around like 220.
They couldn't buy a hit.
No, we could not even. No, nothing we could do would get a hit. We were hovering right around 220 as a team, it seemed like, for the first couple weeks, and then we were able to bring it up recently, where we're starting to see guys hitting over 300, which we haven't seen in about a month. So hopefully our pitching and our hitting can also work together to build a perfect unity.
Yeah, and cutting down on those strikeouts, increasing walks and hits, that's the key to success, getting on base. So kind of transitioning real quick to the other half of things, pitching really quick. How's pitching been doing?
Pretty well. I mean, unfortunately, we lost a couple of our better relievers, like Seth Ballew. Apparently, he got sent to Arizona. And Shane Kelso, congratulations to him, got sent up to Burlington. We're
sad
always
to
happy
see you
to
gone, but we're happy you're out of here.
Exactly. Like it's the love hate relationship with minor league baseball right there. But super happy for him. I mean, last time we saw him on the mound,
he
for
threw 98.
Us at home, yeah, he threw like I think he topped out at 99. Like I was walking by on the concourse and I saw the radar gun hit 97, and I was like, is this thing accurate? And Phil, the video guy with the TrackMan and everything, was like, yep. That's exactly what's going on. So.
Hey, you throw 98 in front of the scouts that we had that night.
Yeah, true.
You're going up.
Yeah, true. So good on Shane Kelso. But you know who we still have is Dazon Cole, who in his last two games had a 0 ERA and a 0.5 whip. So, I mean, with four strikeouts in his last two games. So he's doing pretty well.
Another guy we need to mention, Ryan Smith. One of my things I love to see is when guys lower their ERA, lower their whip, increase their batting average. Ryan Smith, this late in the season, lowered his ERA by one whole run. And as a reliever, that's night and day difference.
Huge.
That's huge. So this last three games that he pitched in, 4.2 innings, two hits, only gave up one run off of one home run. Solo shots, we talk about all the time. They don't really kill you. You can live with guys giving up solo shots. So really... Oh, my goodness. Here we go. Here's my favorite thing about Ryan Smith. 0.64 whip. Let that sink in, boys. No one's getting on base. Basically, lights out. So it's good to see Ryan Smith, another college draftee by the Angels this year who came to the Owls in the beginning of the season. Just doing really great this last couple games.
Yeah, and I mean, we don't have him here, but it's good to see pitchers who have kind of struggled a little bit this season, in like Jacob Voss and Andrew Blake, who we've seen picked it up in the last little bit. I mean, the problem with Voss was he just wasn't consistent, but we've seen him be a little bit more consistent as of late. And Andrew Blake just had a hard time getting out of an inning, but he's been doing a lot better shutting guys out as well. So good for them.
Yeah, and we kind of talked about how there were a couple games where the pitchers just they just didn't have it that night or something, gave up a ton of runs. You can live with that. You know that it just wasn't your night. Your pitchers just weren't doing who knows what it was that night. And a couple of occasions, we lost by 10. We gave up 10 runs. And so when it's just like hitting, when you're hot, you're hot. And when it's bad, it just kind of – it's like a virus just goes throughout the rest of the bullpen and through the rest of the starters. And guys just kind of feed off of that, either negative energy or positive energy. So – I mean, we're seeing more good than bad recently, and hopefully they can keep this up, especially as it seems like we're just cycling so many guys in that bullpen, either guys going up to Burlington or guys going down to Arizona. As we get guys from Arizona, we're still consistent with how we're pitching.
And I think the big thing with pitching is when your starting pitchers can go at least five innings, because we saw in this past week in that 5-2 win over the Vibes, Matt Leon goes five innings, gives up two runs. And then on Monday the 19th, the 12-1 win over the Rockies, Emelker Guzman goes five innings. So when your starter can carry the bulk of that load to start the game and really pitch well and then hand it off to the bullpen, it keeps them more well-rested. They're not having to throw more than they should and stays within pitch counts. And it just makes everybody's life a lot easier as a relief corps when your starting pitchers are going out doing their part No, because that's what the starter's supposed to do. Go out there, go as long as they can. And luckily we've seen a couple of them in those good wins. They went the five innings that they needed to. Taken out, they handed over to the bullpen, who then throws very well to finish out the games.
Exactly. I mean, enough said. I don't think we've told you how to win baseball games.
It's that easy.
Now just do it.
We're accepting managerial roles or hitting coach roles or pitching coach roles.
Just really any role in baseball that I can help out with.
Quentin@ORMLs.com. I'm always open. I still have eligibility for college baseball, too.
Quentin for clubby.
And I can vouch. Quentin and I played in a staff game the other day. He actually didn't do terrible. Only, what? Two strikeouts between the
mediocre.
Two.
It wasn't a staff game. It was a real men's league.
Oh, yeah, not staff
game.
A real men's league game here in Utah.
I struck out once. Well, let's talk about this. I struck out once. I got a hit. I scored four runs. One of those was a pinch running run. So, hey, you need a speed up guy? I'm there.
He did hit into multiple fielder's choices, though.
And
those
out
erased
the
me
play.
Off the base.
Quentin living the glory days right here. Yeah. Right here on the Owl's Nest. Exclusive.
I got drilled in the hip.
Let's How about his about fielding? Yours. Let's talk about that real quick. Was okay. he actually fielding or was he DH?
He bobbled one ball at third base, but he couldn't see it in the sun.
Is that because your glove's still not broken in yet?
Hey, get off my
No, the sun was like right in our eyes.
It's the weird two-finger thing, man.
And then he had a good throw from left field.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, and there's that one guy that tried to tackle you at third base.
Yeah, a guy tried to tackle me at third base. I tagged him out. So
he wasn't happy.
Yeah, the sun was miserable that game. Skylar had two strikeouts, one of them to our clubhouse manager.
I had one strikeout.
Did you have one?
Yeah.
To the clubhouse manager, Andrew. So, enough said.
And then I had two strikeouts pitching.
True, he did. And threw his arm out for the rest of the season. Now on to Owls and around the Pioneer League.
Yeah, around the league. So let's go and look at the standings. These are where things are at, and it's pretty close at this moment. So we've got Billings is at the top of their league. This is up in the north. Billings is way ahead. There you've got a five-game lead over the Missoula Osprey. As Billings is now at 20-7. Osprey's right behind them at 15-12. Great Falls is at 12-14. And then the Idaho Falls Chuckers are at 7-20. They're 13 games back. But they've got their playoff position already. But things aren't looking well for them.
They're eliminated for the second half playoff picture.
Yeah.
In case you didn't know.
And then down here in the south, these are where things are a little more interesting. So the Raptors are at 15-9.
Boo.
And so if they win the division, if they win the second half of the division, it goes to overall record. But we don't want that to happen. So right now, the Owls are at 12-13. So they're 3.5 back. The Vibes are right behind it, or just a half game back behind us at 11-13, and the Rockies from Grand Junction are at 10-14. So things are really close right now, and we've got quite a few games left. We end our last really week against the Raptors.
Yeah.
And so like we were talking about earlier, it's against our division these last 2 weeks. It's doable.
It is doable. And, I mean, at this point, looking like is that it's going to go to overall record, and if that's the case, we're only
four and a half games
behind Grand Junction. So I mean,
we still play two more times. They're struggling.
Yep.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, we play them the next two nights, and then we play Rocky Mountain for three straight, and then it's all Ogden the last bit of the season. So yeah, these next five games are really crucial if we're going to have any hope for the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah. So going back to the second half standings, I just want to point some stuff out here about us and about some other teams in our division right now. So we're in second place. If you look at our splits from home and away, 7-3 at home in the second half, 5-10 away in the second half. Luckily for us, we've only got three more games away, so
yep.
Don't need to be worrying about that too much. 7-3 at home with nine more games. It's doable, boys.
It's doable.
Well, especially in the first half, the Owls hated being home. Like we were saying, they couldn't buy a hit. They was really struggling to win that first half. They were 5-14 at home. That is rough.
Yeah.
So we've kind of seen the reverse splits of each other, which it's good for us. I mean, we mentioned it. We go against Grand Junction, who's was it 4.5 ahead of us? So we could easily get two games right there. Boom. I think it's possible for us to sweep Grand Junction. We won three just on the way road, just away in Grand Junction. And then we play Rocky Mountain at home, who's only 3.5 ahead of us. So it's really make it or break it right now. We need to do good against the two lower-tiered Southern Division teams in our league.
Yeah, so it's going to be really interesting, and especially to keep our eyes on Ogden and continue to see what they do. But we need to focus on these other two teams in the division. Yeah. Take them out, but keep shooting for that first place spot.
Yeah. And one surprise is Billings at 20-7, doing better than Ogden is this second half. It looks like they're about to run away with the North Division second half title.
Yeah, that's weird. What to call it. But I mean, at this point, Billings is so hot, they look like they're going to probably take the North Division playoffs too.
Yes.
Going into the championship. So.
They're going against poor Idaho Falls. We talked about how bad that they have been recently, winning 12 straight games, and now
in the beginning of the season, going undefeated for 12.
Going undefeated for 12 games, and then finishing the season below 500 to now being 7-20. Ugh.
Here's something interesting down here in the South. I was looking up the schedule. So the Rockies, they'll play here in Orem for these next 2 days. Then they go up to Ogden, and then they finish out the season back in Colorado, just straight against Colorado Springs, against Rocky Mountain, I guess. And that's who they finish out the season. So it's going to be that bloodbath between the two of them. So it really gets to us to see, can we take care of them while they're here in town, and then can we just –
take a couple games from Ogden.
Take care of business against the Raptors.
Yeah,
I think it's doable.
Are you saying it's doable, boys?
It's doable. Doable. Boys.
Can we get shirts?
We should get Owl's Nest shirts.
It's doable.
I believe that was in the latest Avengers movie. It's doable.
It's who
Avengers? It's doable.
Do. Can't do the regular music. That's copyright infringement. So you get me.
So we get the bootleg acapella version from Quinton.
Yeah. All these portals open with former players coming back.
Torrey Hunter, Joe Waddell, unite.
Oh, we have fun here. No, but it's going to be exciting. So if you have the chance, come out to the Owls. Cheer them on. Help us root to get to that playoff spot. They've been playing exciting baseball as of late and have – come and have fun at the ballpark.
Let's cheer on the grounds crew, too. They're just out. We're just looking out the window. We see them. They put a nice baseball mural in the grass right around the pitching mound.
Yeah.
So that's really cool.
Pretty impressive, cheer that actually. On. I want to know who did that.
Me too, actually.
I'm going to say not Colton, but
I bet
you know
he Googled
what?
It. I'm 100% WikiHow. How do you do this?
WikiHow'd it.
Alrighty, so... really quick, I accidentally skipped over this. Former Owls, real quick. Do you have any former Owls you want to?
Just two I wanted to talk about. One is Jose Rojas. He's in Salt Lake right now.
More like Jose Rojas.
Yeah, Rojas, exactly. I mean, he played back in Orem back in 2016. Right now he's hitting right around 300 for the Bees, and with 29 home runs on the season. And, he's doing well right now. I think it's important to note him just because he's only like 5 home runs behind Jared Walsh, but everyone's talking about Jared Walsh because he's just got such a hot bat right now up there in Salt Lake, and Jared Walsh should be talked about because he's doing great. But I think Jose Rojas is one of those great guys that can just produce when you need him to, and that's what he's doing for Salt Lake right now. So
leads the team in RBIs, just passed the 100.
Yep. Oh, 102 RBIs.
102 RBIs. So he passed that mark just 2 days ago, I believe, 2 or 3 days ago, passed the 100 RBI mark, which – is about the threshold of excellence in batting. You want, yeah. I'd say, like 40 home runs, 100 RBI. That is all-star level, what you want to aim for.
Yeah, and he's working on those 40 home runs as we speak. So
yeah, just needs 11 more. He's still got a couple games left.
Yeah, no, he's got
it's
the
pine.
The time.
It's the Pacific Coast League. I mean,
it's doable.
That could happen in 2 games.
Yeah, it's doable. So then the other one I want to talk about is Kyle Tyler. He was a pitcher for us last year. He was a reliever for us last year. We talked about him before, but he's still doing amazing up in Burlington. He has a 2.64 ERA for the season, a 7-1 win-loss record, and 1.05 whip. And he's a starter now. He's not a reliever anymore. So in 102 innings pitched, he's got a 7-1 record, and he's still sitting at like a 1.05 whip over to you, Quinn, for your take on that.
What did you, can you say that one more time, please?
A 1.05 whip.
Oh, that is beautiful.
Whip.
Okay, keep going.
Cool whip.
Cool, cool whip.
A cool 1.07 whip.
Exactly. So, just want to talk about those two guys. Congrats to them on doing so well this season, and continued success to them.
Yeah. I mean, I had a guy, too, I wanted to talk about. I mean, Joe Adell. We've talked about him a good amount on the podcast. It just came out that the Angels are going to send Joe Adell to the Arizona Fall League. And so what that means is he probably won't be in the MLB this year.
Probably not this year, but it's coming pretty soon, it looks like.
Yeah. So the Arizona Fall League, it's basically just an instructional league mm-hmm. where there's like 8 teams and all 30 MLB teams have the opportunity to send players to those teams. And I'm pretty sure they're assigned. It's like 4 teams, MLB teams per Arizona Fall League team.
Yep.
So, some alumni from last year that are notable and we should look out for. Vlad Guerrero Jr., Pete Alonso. Enough said. Former alumni of the Arizona Fall League last year who are doing pretty decent this year in the major leagues, if I do say so. Yeah. So yeah,
they're only just setting records. And
yeah, one just got the NL rookie record. One of them's amazing. They're both amazing, actually. So, Joe Adell, we won't be seeing him this year in the MLB probably. But next year, it's very likely we'll see him.
It's looking pretty good.
April to May.
Yeah, it's looking pretty good.
And he hit his first AAA home run just the other day.
Technically, that was taken back.
Yeah.
It was?
Mm-hmm. So
it was.
Joe Adell hits his first AAA home run in like the fourth inning. They play to the fifth, I think the top. Rain comes, aren't able to finish it. All stats are cleared.
Yep.
Joe Adell has one home run in our hearts.
Yes, but his unofficial first AAA home run.
Yes.
Boo. Alrighty, well, we're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we're going to talk about a little State of the Union on the MLB side with our favorite teams. And we're back here on the Owl's Nest, and we're going to have a bit of a State of the Union on our favorite teams, and just so we'll go around the horn here, just so everyone can state their team. I'll start with me. I'm for the Colorado Rockies.
I'm so sorry.
Quinn.
Washington Nationals.
Also sorry.
Nathan.
The Los Angeles Dodgers.
And Connor.
The St. Louis Cardinals.
Okay, what is this? The...
Did you call it the use it before Garden it gets trademarked, man.
Oh my goodness. You're going to get out of here with that.
Alrighty, okay. So who do we want to start with?
We'll start with you. Skyler.
Start with the worst team.
Yep.
So the Colorado Rockies... In a year that they hoped to contend, this was kind of expected. They blew it this year. They're currently at 58-73, or 11.5 games out of first in the West. Hey, it's doable. We have a month left.
No, it's not.
It's doable. 2007, baby.
It's not.
Oh, gosh. He's still living in 2007.
Hey,
we barely
won
a team
that
at that point. Right now, you want to see how far behind the wild card you are? And then tell us how doable it is.
It's 11.5. It's still doable.
Okay.
Sure. It's doable.
Okay.
No, this I'm not very surprised about how the year for the Rockies has gone. Our offense is actually doing pretty good this year. Pitching was just abysmal. Like, I think 4 out of our 5 opening day starting pitchers are on the injured list.
Kyle Freeland.
And
he's still with you.
He's on the injured list.
Oh, well, good. That's good for you.
So, most everybody's on the injured list. Our bullpen has been awful because Wade Davis was a huge waste of money. Brian Shaw, huge waste of money. Jake McGee, a huge waste of money.
At least you've got Nolan Arenado.
Yes, the best third baseman in the history of baseball. he
is. Talk about that.
And, but yeah, so in a year where offense has been really good, we've kind of struggled in some areas, first base, second base. But overall, like, offense we're happy with, but it's just another year in the life of a Rockies fan.
Do you want to tell us your record?
I did.
Oh.
They're 58-73.
You want to say it one more time?
They're 73-58.
I'm mesmerized by this grounds crew.
They're 73-58.
I think you reversed
no,
it.
No, but
there.
It's going to be interesting to see if they do anything in the offseason, which I'm not holding my breath that they will. But I think hopefully this year showed them, hey, you need to do something about pitching. You can't just rely on your homegrown stuff all the time. Like, take a chance. Take a chance on something. And not an over-the-hill has-been. Also, get rid of Ian Desmond.
Noted over-the-hill has-been.
Yeah, who never was.
You're welcome. We didn't want him.
So, but yeah, so that's the Rockies. It was expected.
Should we get it out of the way? The Dodgers fan? Please. I mean, we've only got 20 minutes left on this podcast, yeah, so make it easy, boy.
Where do I begin? No.
Where do I begin? 1986. We play in the easiest division in the league. Like, where do I begin?
We moved to L.A.
30 years ago when our team won a World Series.
Back-to-back World Series chokes.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, rough series this last weekend. Lost 2 out of 3 to the Yankees in what many have thought would be a World Series matchup. Yeah. Our pitching's been all right. We're starting to bring up some guys from AAA. Those that we've brought up for offense have been great. One of those is Will Smith. He's just been a huge, crucial part of what the Dodgers have been doing lately.
Took Austin Barnes' spot.
Yeah, he took the starting day's catcher. He took his spot, and now Barnes is back for a while. But I'm excited to see what happens in this next couple months as we head into playoffs. I'll only take 2 outcomes. Either we win the World Series or we lose to the Twins or the Indians, just so we get the weird stat for losing 3 years in a row, 1 to each of the divisions in the AL.
Like a Dodgers fan already predicting a loss.
Yeah, you know, we'll see what happens. Almost bought a Game 7 ticket last time for the World Series.
That would have been fun.
That would have been great. I would have lost $1,200.
Not got to see anything.
But... yeah, we'll see what happens in this next couple months.
You got an MVP candidate on your team, Cody Bellinger. That's, like I say, that dude's just been raking this year.
Yeah, no, really happy to have him. Happy to see all the changes that he's made and see his progression. Obviously, he came up with as a rookie, and he was great, but there were obviously some weaknesses, and I've seen him adjust a little bit. So.
Okay. That was quicker than I thought it was going
to
be.
Yeah. I know. I thought we were going to have a fanboy segment for a while.
I was going to go each year that they went to the World Series and lost and tell us everything that went wrong and why this is going to be the year.
Yeah. I only heard like 2 excuses in there.
Yeah. I only heard a couple. I mean, he's already predicting the loss, so that's very on par with Dodgers fandom right now. If he beats us up after this game, that might be another one. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Where are we going next? Are we going Nationals or are we going Cardinals?
Let's go Cardinals.
All right. So... all I'm just going to say is Cardinals are going to card because they do this like every year. They were really hot at the beginning of the season. They were almost the first team to 20 wins. It was the Dodgers, but barely because they just had a game before us. But we had the same record, but they just played before us. But anyway, so they were like almost the first team to 20 wins in the season. And then as soon as that happened, they just like dropped off dramatically. And then it was just a fight. And we were like behind the Pirates at one point in the season. But now they're sitting at first in the division of the NL Central, but the NL Central is wild, and no one talks about it enough. But, I mean, you have the Cubs and the Brewers. The Brewers are only 4.5 games back from the Cardinals, and Chicago's only 2.5 games back. So it's just a grind the entire time. But they've made some good moves, and they've had to deal with some injuries. I mean, Yachty is on and off the IL like every other month, it seems like. It's just he can't stay healthy. And then... you have some other injuries, like Matt Carpenter was on the IL at one point in the season. So was Marcelo Zuna. Some of those key guys were on the IL this season. But then they had a really good – they had 2 really good bring-ups in Tommy Edman and Lane Thomas, both rookies from AAA this season that came up and immediately started producing. And then they also brought Harrison Bader back, and he's just been a defensive monster for them, making diving catches almost every game. So – yeah, right now it feels good to be a Cardinals fan right now, but it also worries me because they do this every year. So,
well, as the only person in this room whose team has won a World Series in their lifetime, good luck.
Thank you. Actually, 2 in my lifetime. So,
okay, get out of here.
But both of those were with Albert Pujols, and now he's old and on the Angels. So.
Okay. Well, as the only one, no, Skyler, were you 94 or 96?
96.
So the Rockies. Were before. They were a team before you were born, right?
They've been around since 1993, their first official season.
Okay, so as the only one here who's older than their team, technically. We're not counting the Expos. The Nationals now. We're going on to the hottest team in baseball right now, boys.
Also get on the bandwagon.
What'd you say?
Keep it short, too, like Nathan.
Okay. No, I can't. Hottest team in baseball. Top 4 MVP candidate in Anthony Rendon. Player of the week, we're 4 games up in the wild card spot, At one point, we were down 14 or 15 games to the Braves, brought that back to 6. We are 73-57. Not bad, if I say so myself. Hottest pitching in the league. Best bats in the league. Fastest guys in the league. The manager's not that good. Our bullpen is still atrocious. But it's our year, boys.
It's doable? It's our year to win a series. Is that what you're saying?
You also have the second best pitcher in the league.
And second best. Get out of here.
Are you saying that behind
Clayton
Kershaw?
Oh, he's saying second best behind Max Scherzer, Steven Strasburg. Thank you.
No, Hyunjin Ryu, and no. Then Scherzer.
How did Ryu do his last game? I'm sorry. The Yankees.
I mean, he didn't do that great, but let's look at ERA and look at how he's done
ERA
all season.
ERA is an inflated stat no one should look at. But Steven Strasburg, Patrick Corbin, Max Scherzer, it's the year, boy. We win the series, the National League Divisional Series. I can feel it in our blood. We're going all the way to the championship series. So, Nationals were hot. I'm excited. This is my favorite Nationals team that I've seen. Been a fan since about 2006. Been following them since Alfonso Soriano in his 40 years. This is my favorite team I've seen so far, and I'm confident.
That's good.
Thank you.
happy for you, bud.
Thanks.
Good for you.
It's exciting year.
Also, I misspoke. I misread my standings. The Rockies are 27.5 games back in their division. So that is not doable.
That's not.
Wild card is, though.
If the Dodgers lose every single game, if the Padres lose every single game, if
the
Arizona loses every single game,
if the Giants.
This gets really complicated because the Dodgers and Padres are playing tonight, and
you
someone
can tie
has
games.
To win.
Tie games don't count as anything, so we're fine.
So
win every game.
Really, the Rockies' goal this year is we're just shooting for 70 wins. Shooting for 70.
Is that doable?
12 more wins. We can do it, hopefully.
Man, you know your club's good when that's your goal.
Yeah, it's been awful.
So that's just a little recap of how our teams are doing, a little bit of what we think about our teams. Nathan pulled up a video here. Let's see how he's pulled up the game of the week. Okay, but one thing that we could talk about this recent week, our thoughts on Players Weekend, the jerseys, the games, and everything that went into it. Anyone have any hot takes they need to get off their chest right now?
I hated the jerseys.
I also hated the jerseys.
I like the black jerseys, not the white jerseys.
Of course the Dodgers fan did.
We wore the white jerseys.
Yeah, that's why you like the black jerseys, because they won.
But the black jerseys were okay, but I feel like the point of Players Weekend is just to like have a little fun with the jerseys and be able to like read all the nicknames. You couldn't even read half the nicknames. Like, you couldn't even see what they were unless it was a close up shot of each one. Like,
the point of Players Weekend is to be able to read their names and number.
Kind of.
Couldn't do that.
Well, with the jerseys it is.
I know. But I'm in the same boat. This, like, there's no personality in white and black.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the most plain thing you could ever do.
That's what I thought the MLB would have learned from the NBA. What was it, 2 All-Star games ago when they did the all white and all black for the East and West? It was terrible. It went awful. No one bought them, and the MLB still went through with it.
We got some great memes, though.
True. Always for the memes.
I'm here for the memes.
Like, I wish they had done like more jerseys like the Cubs and the Pirates did at the...
Those were cool.
At the Little League World Classic that they played at. Like, I thought that was the whole reason they wanted to correspond these two events of the Little League World Series, which, side note, Louisiana beat Curaçao for the Little League World Championship, so USA.
Where's Curaçao?
Curaçao's in, like, the Bahamas kind of, like, area.
Oh, okay.
That's where Kenley Jansen's from, I'm pretty sure.
Kenley Jansen, Andrelton Simmons, Jonathan Scope.
That's right.
It's basically, if you're really fast and are pretty good at middle infield, you'll go there. Or Kenley Jansen, who's not
like,
fast.
I was like, or Kenley
and a
Jansen.
Catcher who's came up as a catcher who was 6'5", so there you go.
Yeah, I thought they're supposed to correspond, like, these two events. Have, like, fun with it, because I liked the jerseys from the last 2 years. Like the colored sleeves.
Yeah, I loved last year's
I loved
jerseys.
The hats
last
from the past 2 years. Awesome. But like this year was just very bland and not very fun. The cool thing was like you'd see on social media like the cleats that guys were wearing.
Yeah.
Like some really cool cleats. But that's what annoys me is like, why not let them wear that kind of stuff all through the year? I don't think it's really distracting anybody.
It's not.
NBA, we saw NBA this last year opened up their policy on basically wardrobes, so their sneakers. You're allowed to wear whatever color you want.
Uh-huh.
Don't make it offensive. Don't make it anything controversial, really. And the NBA is cool with it. And if you know anything about the four major sports, they're probably the most progressive, most watched sport right now.
Yeah. And I mean, the NFL is trying to get there too, because the NFL made it so that you could wear any cleats you want for the like warm up and pre games and stuff. But then during the game, you have to wear just normal cleats. But
yeah.
I would like to mention, I don't know if anyone else saw it, but the Angels, they had a couple of players honoring Tyler Skaggs with their uniforms, which I thought was really awesome.
Yeah, that was cool.
You saw eight players total throughout the league had Love You, Ty, T-Y. Patrick Corbin, one of his teammates, one who was with the Owls.
Apparently they were like best friends too.
Mm-hmm, real good friends. I think they might have lived with each other. I'm not sure.
Yeah,
it's fuzzy or something. It's fuzzy. But played here in the Owls, played in the minor league organization, Arizona. So we saw a lot of people representing either parents, loved ones who had fallen and had just passed away. So that's really cool to see. So, I mean, I like Players Weekend. The novelty for me is starting to lose its luster, and I'm starting to, maybe it's just because the jerseys and what happened this year, to not be that cool with it.
Yeah. Hot take though. Sleeveless jerseys next year.
No.
Come on. The Reds are doing it now. I think they should do it for the Players Weekend jerseys next year.
And the Reds are the only team that could pull it off. They have the most personality on their team. No, you see, like,
Puig's not even on their team anymore. He was like the personality.
That's
for
why they
Dietrich.
Haven't worn him since. You have Derek Dietrich. You have guys like Puig and Michael Lorenzen, Eugenio Suarez. These guys who are big personalities. They can do that. Some guys I don't really want to see in it, though. Daniel Vogelback. I don't need to see him in some sleeveless jerseys, okay?
All right, now guys, we're just body
are you
shaming.
Body shaming
I don't appreciate this. This is not what the Owlsness stands for.
No, there's some people I just don't need to see in sleeveless jerseys.
Okay, well, that's one man's opinion.
Hear me out here.
The guy who edits this podcast's opinion.
Bring back the shorts that the White Sox wore that one time. Just bring those back for Players Weekend.
No way.
Okay, you know what? I'm going to say, why don't we just take a page out of the NBA's book again? The 93 All-Star jerseys with, like, the San Antonio, like, chili pepper and, like, the teal or whatever, that should be Players Weekend next year.
Okay, hear me out. We wear shorts and sleeveless jerseys, so both of your guys.
Backwards hats.
No hats.
Oh,
no
and
hats.
And we put some, like, hard wood out in the outfield, and we have one ball. Only five guys can play on each team, and they're trying to throw the ball into a basket.
So
that's
peach
next
ball?
Year's All-Star. Basketball.
Basketball.
I think what we need to do is just put everyone out there in like community league gear and see what happens then.
No. Here's my idea.
Wear whatever you want. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. So like they would just wear like a t-shirt and like Nikes that they've had for 5 years and then a pair of shorts that are too short.
Any of them have Nikes for 5 years? I think they just get new cleats every time.
Okay. Yeah, I got it.
But this
here.
Is community league standards.
Here's how we do this. Each team is required to play two players from their local men's league team. They have to play a position and must at least bat three times. So we got guys out with the wrong uniform.
Someone's like Max Scherzer throwing like a 97 slider.
Yeah, to Skyler. He plays for the Rockies, gets to fulfill his dream.
I will.
Players weekend. It's for the players. Huh? Tell me where I'm wrong.
You know what? When you're right, you're right.
Aaron Judge hitting moonshots. Guys can't catch it in center field. Lands on their face. That'll be funny.
Here's one thing. Is like I wish Major League...
54-year-old guys trying to beat out infield singles. Hammies pulled left and right.
Hips just bringing out.
That training staff, man. It's training staff for the players.
Training staff weekend.
The training staff is players. They don't know what they're doing. It's just good fun out there.
All right, here's a serious note on the Players Weekend stuff. Is like I wish MLB would take a picture or take a page. That's what the phrase is. Take a page out of the minors' book of having more fun promotional like with jerseys. Let them wear like for Star Wars night. Give them a Star Wars themed jersey because that's what I love about seeing posts about the minor leagues. And currently this year in AAA, they've got their. Latin like diversity.
Mm-hmm. That's throughout all minor leagues.
Copa del Mundo.
Yeah.
And so like the Isotopes or the mariachis.
Yeah.
And Fresno's stuff, the tacos.
Or like there's the green chili burgers or something like that. Mm-hmm. And so like I want more stuff like that. Have more fun with what the players are wearing. I think that's what Players Weekend was supposed to be about, was what they're wearing, like what they're playing and just having more fun with it.
Should they do like they do in the NBA, do like the city edition jerseys kind of thing?
Yeah,
that'd be sweet.
I'm down for that.
Well, and that's I like that you brought that up too, Skyler, because, I mean, like the Memphis Redbirds I saw last week did something where it was Grizzlies night at the ballpark, and they had their first-round pick, John Morant, come and sign autographs. But on top of that, they did a throwback Grizzlies jersey from when they were the Vancouver Grizzlies with like the teal color and the cool patterns around the trim. It was awesome, and it's just more fun to see something like that.
And just merchandising, like, I think people like to buy those more just kind of absurd, non-normal jerseys because, yeah, like, we like the classic. Everybody has their white jersey. Everybody has their gray jersey. And then you have your various alternates.
Here's the thing, though. We have teams like the Yankees, the Cubs, the Dodgers, who are so set in their ways, their jerseys. Even the last year, we saw Yankees kind of like protesting a little bit because throughout their whole history, they've never had names on the back of their jerseys. Last year was the first time, basically, they had names on the back of their jerseys with their player weekend. So we have to have like a happy medium where it's minor league. Some of the stuff they do is crazy, and you're just like, okay, that is just ugly.
Like apocalypse jerseys from mm-hmm. the Dodgers or from yeah. the Raptors.
Or like Dunder Mifflin jerseys that are yeah. like Dwight's shirt.
Yeah.
So we don't need that. But kind of going something more like what you said, the NBA does, city jerseys. So it's kind of each team gets a little input on what they get to do. So I don't want it to be too much like the minor leagues because then you lose luster in the minor leagues
yeah, for true.
What they get to do. But also keeping like the tradition alive of baseball being like what it is so far.
Are you saying keep the Yankees happy? I don't know who no, you are anymore.
No, I don't care about that. I just know there's certain teams, certain fans, and certain writers who would hate that. They would riot to MLB Network, to MLB front offices.
Burn it everything. Down.
Yeah,
exactly. So,
yeah. We just need like a happy medium where we see something different that's not too crazy.
Shirts and skins.
There we go. Players weekend shirts and skins. We're getting
no slowly. Sunscreen.
Sliding head first.
In those shorts.
Shorts only. Shorts, shirts, and skins.
Well, that's going to bring an end to another week's episode of The Owl's Nest.
Glad we ended on a good note.
A poor visual for you. Yep. We're sorry for that, but we thank you listened to this far into the episode.
We've only got a couple more weeks left of the Owl season. So like we said, come on out to the ballpark. Should be fun.
Come cheer on the team. Come cheer on the grounds crew. And come have a good time.
And as always, leave us feedback on Twitter and Instagram. We'd love to hear from you. Do some community questions next week.
Yeah. We'll do some community questions next week.
Yeah. So we'll be back again in 7 short days or so. See you next time.